Tube the Defense, the best podcast in the world. We're out here.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we had now taken our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, I send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Hey, yo.
This is the abuse that he's giving me, yeah? Fucking hell. It's taking you fucking 5 years to start giving me abuse. Alright, okay, I'm not Yan, you know, Jesus. Fuck it. Hello, welcome to Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and I've got three co-hosts. First of all, as ever, Rodri Giggs. How you doing, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good, mate, considering.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Considering, like I said.
What?
How are you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I didn't get a word you said. You said considering, and they went, no. I thought you were Kenny for a second from South Park.
Oh, right. Yeah, now, from considering we just conceded a goal in the 96th minute, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Okay. You?
Yeah. Very good. There you go. See? Upbeat. Got to stay upbeat. Come on, stay positive. The future is in our hands.
If you look at it now, well, we'll go in. We'll introduce everyone, and we'll get into it.
All right. Okay. Cheers, mate.
I've just seen the fixtures have just come up on the screen. Now you must have been. You're watching what I'm watching now.
No.
Everyone's.
No, I don't have. I don't
know. All right. Well, all the fixtures have come up for like Chelsea. So Chelsea, you've got Norwich, Liverpool, and Wolves. The canal there. That's not easy, is it?
No.
And then Leicester have got Sheffield United, Tottenham, and United. But like I say, we'll get into it. We'll introduce it first.
Okay, all right. Well, let's bring him in. First of all, returning after a long, long time, it's a very happy Leeds United fan. KG, welcome back, mate.
I'm great, man. You know, I've been buzzing since yesterday. Like, the game had finished a good 10 hours, and I thought it was like 10 minutes ago because I was still buzzing. Can't believe it, man.
It doesn't sound really sad that every time I see a Leeds result, anything to do with Leeds, I immediately think of you.
Nah, man. That's a good correlation, man. It's a good connection.
Yeah, good.
Because nah, man. Four points away, and that is it. Yeah. We're back.
Touching distance there, my friend.
Yeah, man. And we can sort out this Premier League, man, and teach some of these teams how to play football. No one's rolling with me on that one, then, man.
Well, listen, you... I don't blame you for feeling this way because, I mean, you've had people like Peter Reid in charge, haven't you? Or you've had Terry Venables and you've had Simon Grayson. Great. So, yeah, of course, you're well within your rights to feel upbeat. I would be if I were in your shoes. So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, man, right recruitment and we'd be also at the hill. He'll out-coach half of that league.
Mm.
Easy. Mm. Easily, yeah.
Okay, well, do we have a technical difficulty? Because Rodri is trying to call. What is going on? Answering this call will place your current call on hold. You can merge the calls. Let's press merge. Oh, no, he's disappeared now. See, the joys... Where's Semp? Is Semp's gone as well? Semp's, you there?
No, I'm here.
Okay, well, there you go. Welcome back to the show, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good. We march on.
Good. Well, look, I'm not going to edit anything tonight. So, technical difficulties, whatever difficulties, I don't give a shit. It is what it is. Rod, you back?
Yeah, I'm back, mate.
Oh, excellent. Where did you go?
I don't know. I cut myself. Someone was ringing me and I cut myself off instead of
I thought because we were talking about Leeds United, you thought, fuck this.
Yeah, that as well.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's let's kick off proceedings by talking about United's draw tonight against Southampton. Armstrong gave Southampton the lead. Rashford and Martial scored within 3 minutes. And then Obafemi scored in the 96th minute. To be fair, Rod, the equaliser was coming, wasn't it? Southampton were knocking on the door. They had a chance. I know De Gea saved very well. They were putting balls in the box. Lindelof was... He dealt with most of it, heading the ball away. But players looked leggy. Substitutions were made. And, I can't... I can't say Southampton didn't deserve anything because they did. What do you reckon?
No, totally agree. They were pressing the last 15, 20 minutes. We looked leggy, like you say. We looked tired and didn't keep the ball well. Made the substitutions, got a bit unlucky by the injury with Williams, and he had to go off. So, yeah, it was poor defending as well for the goal. But, yeah, like I say, they did deserve it. And I'm not too downbeat about it, because looking at the remaining fixtures and, you know, having it still in our own hands, you know, I still feel confident, even though it's a blow. But, you know, I just still think it shines a light on that we still need another centre-half, because... Just Lindelof, you said before we come on, he played well. He did, but he ultimately cost us a goal. So, you know, we need to someone there who's going to stay out in 97 minutes and not play for 96, then drop a climb that's going to lose us 2 points.
Yeah, that's right. Semps, Pogba went off. He looked a bit leggy, to be fair, as did most of the players. He gave the ball away for the first, but then he picked it up and he was doing pretty well with Matic in the middle of the park. But I can see why Fred came on, because Pogba wanted too much time on the ball when he was getting pressed. Time and time again, Southampton were pushing forward, pressing with six players, if not seven. So I could see why Pogba was taken off. Fred kind of gave us a little bit more of an engine, so to speak. But again, it was a result that we deserved, to be fair.
Yeah, I think Pogba being caught on the ball is probably one of the things that a lot of people don't like about him. Sometimes he is a little bit off the pace of how the Premier League can be, and today's game was an example of that. The way Southampton were pressing and were all over us, and in the second half it became even more evident as we started to tire out. And I don't have an issue actually with any of the substitutions that Ollie made. I know a few people I've spoken to at the end of the game who are not happy with it, saying that we invited pressure on by taking Pogba and Bruno off, but I think it made sense. And we got to remember as well that we play Crystal Palace on Thursday, and then we also go to, and then we play Chelsea on Sunday. So the games are coming thick and fast. This team have played five consecutive games on the trot. So as Rod said, I think we definitely looked leggy. And, you know, I agree that the draw was a fair result. But with that said, We could have well easy won that game with a couple of chances that we had on another night. We still win that game.
I think it just goes to prove to and the balance of it of you know, when do you bring players off, when do you keep them on to keep them that freshness if he wants to start with that same 11, because it's difficult when you've got games coming every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and I don't know what the right thing is. I actually put a question out today. I tweeted about it saying, do we start with an unchanged team? And everyone's saying you don't change a winning team and X, Y, and Z. But we've got to remember, five consecutive games in such a short space of time, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. So I wouldn't have been surprised if he had have made any changes today, because we've got to take into consideration that we've got, you know, Crystal Palace on Thursday, which isn't going to be easy either. I now wonder, what do we do in the FA Cup game? Do we play a weakened team in that? Because we're not going to be able to go strong in that game as well.
Do you know what I think he'll
Sorry, go on, Stel.
No, what I think he will do, he'll play Ighalo up top against Crystal Palace in a central role, because Sakho and Cahill are very physical. And I don't think Martial will be able to handle them. So
Cahill won't be playing. He got shot the other day.
Well, who's going to be the other centre-back? Dan's?
Is it Sakho?
It's got Dan's, Sakho, and who's the other one?
It's got Dan's, yeah.
So, again, another physical central defender. So, yeah. I think Ighalo will play. I think, well, we're going to need a left-back, because Shaw's done his ankle.
Yeah, but if you're playing against them physical defenders, when I play strike, if I want to play against them physical, dopey, big, slow defenders... That's what you got to play against, because then you know the quickness of Martial. I know what you're trying to say, but yeah, I don't know about that one. It's going to be tricky though, because what does he take advantage of? Does he prefer the FA Cup, or does he prefer getting higher in the league? I'm thinking slightly moving towards the league than the FA Cup. So
yeah,
It'll be interesting Thursday.
Well, let's be real, right? With Crystal Palace, we know they're going to have Milivojevic, they're going to have MacArthur and probably Kuyat in the middle of the park. So I don't think we can play Pogba with Matic there. We're going to need the third man, like maybe McTominay or Fred, because they're going to double up on Pogba.
Well, it'll be Fernandes, won't it?
Well, yeah, okay, well, do you think he's going to start giving... The way they hauled him off, I don't know. Maybe he's tired.
He's the only one that I would not leave out.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I don't think he's been great over the last couple of games, though.
He hasn't, but he's still getting goals and assists.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. No, he's top of the and since we've been back, he's got like 14 assists and goals. Yeah, well, goals. Yeah. And goals. You can't take that away.
Contributions since he's joined.
I'm leaning towards Pogba as well. You've got to keep Pogba in. It's just, do you leave Matic out and give him a rest? Mm-hmm. But then he's looked steady as well. But you know, this is the balance. This is it's good decisions. It's a good problem that he's got because he's got some quality players. But does he bring Fred in because he's got a lot of energy? Does he bring James in and give Greenwood a rest? Oh, it's Rashford starting to look like he's got coming on now and starting to get into his form. So do you leave him out? It's a big one.
Okay.
Then you've got Shaw, who looks like he's twisted his ankle. Is he out for a couple of weeks? Is he out for the rest of the season? And then you've got Williams with a cut eye. So who's going to play left back?
I don't know. But I'll tell you what, before we move on to Southampton quickly, Romeo, should you have seen red?
Yes. Maybe ask KG, who's a neutral. What does he think?
He's gone.
I'm here. I've got to be honest. I've got to call it arson here. I didn't see it, man. I was watching the League One player final. So
you know what? I think it was one of them. It was more clumsy. Don't think he's meant to do that. If he has, then yeah. But I don't think it was more of a clumsy one.
Mm. Okay, fair enough.
Well, but if the ref sees it, then he's got to give red. He's obviously not seen it. But then again, you've got VAR. So, yeah.
And it wasn't deemed to be a standing offence.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to go against the refs on the pitch, do they?
No, of course not. Well, KG...
Unless it's blatant.
Yeah, true. KG, you didn't watch the game, but Southampton, they won at Stamford Bridge. They played pretty well at Anfield. They beat City at home the other week and... they've just drawn at Old Trafford. What a difference a few months have made. And we spoke about this the other week, whereby, you know, they got spanked by Leicester City and we thought that's it for Hasenhüttl. And I think they lost their next three after that as well. But they've really, really done well to turn things round and, yeah, avoided the drop with consummate ease.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's all to do with coaching. They believe in their coach. And as long as you do that and you've got the players that are working together... It will come good for you. When you look at some of those teams at the bottom, like say Norwich, the coach has already, he had given up about 4 or 5 games ago. You know, he was talking like he was defeated then. These guys there, they regrouped after that 9-0 defeat and have just come on strength to strength. And it helps that they've got a goal scorer in Danny Ings that will get you goals and keep you up.
Yeah, absolutely. And Semps, what did you make of Ward-Prowse's performance? I know he had the assist for the equaliser, but when Armstrong went off, it's almost as if he had a new lease of life and he was able to get on the ball more, be more creative. He's a very good player, isn't he?
I think he's the heartbeat of that team, man. I think he's a very tidy player. He's got everything, you know, vision, technique, and he can control games as well. And yeah, I was impressed with his performance today, but it wasn't something that I was surprised that I've seen that from him countless times.
Yeah, if Southampton are to kick on, I'm pretty sure they need a new right back. I know Walker Peters has come in on loan, but he had a torrid time.
He's played well. I thought he played well today, actually. Especially in the second half, he started getting forward a lot more.
Yeah, but defensively?
He started causing us problems.
Yeah, going forward, yeah, but defensively, he wasn't great, was he?
I don't think he got rinsed that badly, to be honest. Well,
both our goals came from the left-hand side.
Martial done him in the first half and he got done with a bit of skill.
In the first goal? Where was he on Rashford for the first?
Maybe you're right.
Both goals came from that side, mate.
Yeah, but you can't always just blame because the goals come from one side. It's a team game, innit? So you have to look at where the other team players were as well. I'd have to look at them closely again, but I thought we did all right today. Because we didn't, you know, cause that much. You know, as Rod said earlier, we struggled to hold on to the ball. I think they had more possession than us today as well, I think. So, yeah, I think overall, I thought we did all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Right, well, obviously United missed the chance of going to the top four after Chelsea got hammered at Sheffield United 3-0 and Leicester City... Katie's laughing. Leicester City lost 4-1 at Bournemouth. Fucking Bournemouth. I've been cussing this team for the best part of 2-3 seasons, saying Eddie Howe is Eddie Hype. Talking about Dominic Solanke only scoring twice in 70 games, and here he comes with a brace. The first goal, which I can only describe as a FIFA glitch, because if my goalkeeper did that on FIFA, that control pad is going out the window, my friend. KG, are Bournemouth going to stay up, even without Nathan Ake at the back?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
No, they're not staying up. You know what that second half reminded me of for Leicester? It was like somebody said, "That is it, I curse you." And then everything that went wrong just went wrong in that half. It was ridiculous what you were seeing. Kasper Schmeichel doesn't get beaten by shots like that regularly, and he got beaten twice. You know, you got Son Chu playing MMA in the net. It was all crazy. And then you got Solanke scoring two goals after McGoldrick scored two goals. And you know what? It's all been nuts this weekend. It's been absolutely nuts. But maybe, in the words of Stell, Eddie Howe worked that magic.
Oh, shut up. Shut the fuck up. I'm not having it. I have seen Sunday league games pan out like the way it did with that one in the second half. Honestly, what Soyuncu did, I couldn't help but laugh. It was just like the old FIFA back in the day with David Platt in the box. You could run away from the referee.
But even before that, Cash was fine for just smashing it against Ndidi. what was going on? It was
puzzling, man.
But now Bournemouth are down. That won't do nothing for them.
No, of course not. And Rod, Sheffield United, that's a big win for them. Look, they've had a tricky first few games back since COVID broke, but now they're getting some form and they gave Chelsea an absolute tonking. But let's be fair, Chelsea defensively, crikey, what was all that about?
Yeah, well, the test of what we talked about last week about the Chelsea team, how they're good going forward, a bit like us at the minute, really. They're good going forward, solid in midfield, very good in midfield, and just at the back, you know that they've got a goal in them. Yeah, and Sheffield United are doing really, really well at the minute and got some really good couple of good results. And yeah, Chris Wilder's done brilliant with the resources he's got and the way they play. It's a great result for him.
There you go.
And with Eddie Howe, the Messiah, he's going to get him out. You know that, don't you?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know, I've seen some terrible films in the past. I've been to some disgustingly awful comedy shows. But seeing Bournemouth in the Prem, right, with people waxing lyrical over Eddie Howe. When Stez came on last week and he was saying so many good things about Eddie Howe, I'm like, I'm not going to say anything because this is going to go back and forth. And he knows far more about coaching than I do, so I'm not going to argue with the guy. But when people talk about Eddie Howe like he's some kind of messiah, I'm not having it.
He's throwing digs in. What about Burnley?
Listen, I asked him if Eddie Howe could take Spurs forward and he said yes. Okay? That hurt my feelings.
Is that why you threw the Burnley dig in?
You know me too well,
Giza. Make yourself feel better.
Ah, oh, jeez. I'm compensating for something, yeah? Jeez. All right, okay. Wolverhampton Wanderers absolutely pammed Everton 3-0 Semps. Jimenez scored from the spot. Dendonka then made it 2 and Jota made it 3. There are a lot of Wolves fans prior to the game saying maybe their manager's only taken them so far. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, to be honest, because this team was very close to getting in the top four about a week or so ago. So, yeah, what did you make of that victory?
Yeah, if I wanted, I didn't see that game, actually.
Okay, Wenger. Jesus.
You asked me about one I didn't watch.
Wengeritis.
Say that again?
Wengeritis. I did not see it.
But well, you know what you're going to get with Wolves, don't you? They're so well organised, and we talk about coaching and the team that's well drilled, and yeah, everybody seems to know their role in that team. So it's not a result I'm surprised to see. I've seen the goals, and that's what you get from them again as well. You get quality goals. They've got quality players all over the pitch. I didn't see whether Traore started. Like, he may have been on
shoulder
on
injury,
the bench that game.
Shoulder injuries out, I think.
Yeah, he was on the bench. He come on.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Even if he doesn't start, they still function well, still create chances. Jimenez, I think, is a beast of a striker as well. So, yeah, I think they've got a very good chance of getting, you know, fifth or sixth if they continue to go. Mm. You know, they've got their fixtures. They've got Burnley next, Crystal Palace, and Chelsea last day of the season. So you would expect them to get, you know, 6 points at least out of Burnley and Crystal Palace. And then anything can happen on the last day against Chelsea. You know, that's a really tough one for Chelsea.
Is that at Chelsea, that?
Yeah, that's at Chelsea. But, you know, when there's no fans at the moment, it's the home games and away games.
Yeah,
it doesn't really mean anything. So it's just... the only thing is when is the Europa League? The Europa League game is well up. Yeah, the 6th of August. I'm just looking now. So they've got, you know, enough time to recover for that. So they can go hell for leather against Chelsea. And it may mean something to them, that game as well, them trying to push as high up the table as possible. So, yeah, man, we want them in good form. That's what I say.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you know what? KG's probably sitting there thinking, you know what? There are a lot of Premier League teams at the moment. In fact, the majority of them. You can almost do Premier League bingo. And by that, I mean Wolves, Burnley, Sheffield United, Everton, Southampton, Newcastle, Palace, Brighton, Watford. The taglines, well-organised, compact. It's almost Premier League bingo. And as a Leeds United fan, who obviously is seeing his team playing fluid football, expansive football, the Bielsa way, you're probably sitting there thinking, Jesus Christ, we've got to be a top 6-7 team next season, surely. Am I wrong?
No, not top 6-7. I wouldn't go that far.
No, but what I'm saying is, in terms of the rhetoric that you're hearing about these Premier League teams.
Listen, this... If the Premier League is going to be like it has been this season, we would finish in the top 10 next season, no problem. I've got to expect that teams are going to get better because, yeah, who did that? You know, but listen, at the bottom of the league, this team's not even pushing 40 points, man. It's disgusting. Yeah. And what I was saying earlier about watching the League One playoff final, I watched the League Two one as well a couple of days back, a week back, whenever it was. Those Premier League teams down the bottom wish they didn't have the talent of those teams, but the heart, man, because they try, they're fighting for certain. You can tell these players really want certain. Down the bottom of the league, in the Premier League at the minute, you just see teams that are just happy to be there. As long as they're at the bottom three, they're all right with being there. And I do believe that our team, we're not just going to be a club that is happy to be there. Our fans wouldn't accept that either. So we're going to be...
What? Sorry, I was just going to say, can I ask a question? But I'll let you finish and then I'll ask.
I'm just saying as well, and coaching is a huge part of it. So when we go up against, if Steve Bruce is somehow there at Newcastle, I fully expect us to beat Newcastle. He's not going to be able to outcoach Bielsa. No way. And it's the same way that people looked at Wilder and everything. I remember when I first came back in, when I first came on the show anyway in September, I said, he's got a good system there. They're well organised, everything. Whether they score enough goals or not, we don't know. But it's about coaching. You can have all the best players or whatever it is, but if you haven't got the coach, it doesn't matter what you do.
Fair enough.
So,
Semps?
Yeah, no, I was just going to ask KG that the year before Norwich came up as champions, didn't they? I believe they came up as champions playing good football. And look what we've seen happen to them. Why do you think that won't necessarily happen to Leeds?
Because they want all out attack. We are, but we cover the pitch in threes and fours. So when we're out of possession, we've got three or four people working hard to get the ball back. We've got that constant high press. And even when we've got players coming back, we've got interchangeable players as well that switch left, right, centre, mids will come back. Calvin Phillips is covering. We play differently from Norwich City. So it's a completely different way of playing. When you see them, when they haven't got the ball, my God, it's open season. You've got these players being rated at 50 million and they look lost out there. Mm-hmm. You know, Ben Gunfrey has been talked about for 50 million and the last 2 weeks he's looked shocking. Well, whether that's a product of being in that Norwich team, but he looks lost out there in that team. Whereas we have got a well-drilled team. We don't have the best players. So if Bielsa was to leave and we were stuck with this team, I'd be a little bit worried, I'm not going to lie. But he's coached these players now, and with the second season underneath his belt, they look even better. And that's why I haven't been worried about this restart and us coming up automatically.
Okay, cool.
Fair enough.
Right.
No, what you've got to think about there is, you know, you've seen it before with teams come up and playing a different kind of football. You know, I expect Leeds to if they do get promoted, to fly out the blocks and do very well. Come Christmas, people will start to figure it out and start to try and figure the way they play and try and stop it. You've got to remember, even though the press and your coaching, it's still all about the players. So they'll still have to strengthen and have a better players. Because let's not forget, this is the Premier League, it's not the Championship, and Leeds aren't running away with it. So you still will have to add players. And that's a very important part of it, by adding the players, the pieces that he wants to ultimately...
To keep them up or keep them challenging?
Well, to be competitive, but ultimately go where he wants to go. And, you know, he's supposed to be a really top coach. So, all right, they've got good players and he's got good coaching now. He still will have to strengthen the players, because the problem Norwich had, he didn't strengthen, and this is where they're at now.
Yeah, but he needs to find a middle ground. Because we saw Aston Villa by eight or nine players.
United.
Huh?
Well, look at Sheffield United. They bring two or three players in and look at them.
Well, this is it. That's what I'm saying. They need to find the middle ground, because Aston Villa and Fulham in previous seasons, they purchased eight or nine new players.
Still, it only needs maybe only one or two players. Look at United. Now he might be happy with what he's got now, and they bring in a couple of ball players and a couple of experienced Premier League players. And that's all it takes, but he'll still have to strengthen a little bit.
Because remember, this
is the Premier League, it's not the Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't disagree with none of that. Of course, we're going to have to, especially in a few of the key areas, if you know what I mean, up front, centre backs, we will need to definitely get some players that are fit to play in the Premier League week in, week out. But I've got no worries about coming up to this Premier League, man. There's just so many teams that they're just poor, man. And we've seen this season how many of these games have been unwatchable when we've been doing these reviews. It's been hard to watch some of these games this season.
Yeah.
And we'll bring something different, not in a Norwich way, but in a
they'll bring something different at Elland Road as well, because that is it's a scary place to be, to be honest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Absolutely. Right. Okay, let's talk about the relegation bout, because Norwich are down. They're down. Gone. Goodbye. So that leaves two more spots. West Ham battered Norwich 4-0. Four goals from Mikel Antonio. Wow. Unbelievable. Then Watford beat Newcastle 2-1. Two goals from Troy Deeney from the spot. Then you're thinking, right, okay, what Aston Villa going to do the next day? Well, they beat Crystal Palace. And the talking point was Jack Grealish's dive. 2-0 win for Aston Villa, and then it came to Bournemouth. So I can't actually remember the last time those teams down at the bottom all won on the same weekend. Can anyone remember? Because I don't know. Does that ever happen?
It hasn't happened since we've been back from lockdown. Because I recorded my podcast yesterday, and I had a look at the last six games, and they've only got 4 points out of 18, and 7 points out of 18. So most of them have been losing their games anyway. So that is definitely the first time it's happened since we've been back.
Oh, you have a podcast. What's it called?
You know what it's called.
it's an opportunity to plug it midway through the show, for fuck's sake. Give me the program.
Nah, it's a shoot the defense, man. No, we leave it.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. So cute. Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Right. KG, a while back, in fact, every week we've been saying that without Troy Deeney's goals, Watford are pretty much down. I know Welbeck scored the fantastic winner the other day, but let's be real. Troy Deeney has single-handedly kept this team up, especially with De La Feo out.
Yeah, I saw you mention about Delafeu being key to Watford, but he's another player that he does well one game and then he's gone for the next 11. You know, he's super inconsistent. But Watford, they're just lucky that there's three teams worse in the league than them, because they haven't been great, and neither is Deeney, with all due respect. He hasn't been firing on all cylinders this season either. They again have spent a lot of money on certain players, and they haven't shown value for money, but because they're at Watford, they don't really get highlighted, you see. But I think they'll be all right this season, but next season it might be a little bit trickier once the run of the litter have gone this season. Okay. But you mentioned about the points. Aston Villa and Bournemouth were on 27 for about 3 weeks. They were just stuck on 27 points for about 3 weeks, yeah, since we restarted.
Yeah,
kept using.
But the thing is, you got...
Oh, you what though, guys?
Go on.
Watford have got West Ham next game. So that is literally... If they lose that game, then they've got Man City and then Arsenal last day of the season. I can see Watford going down, to be honest with you.
Mm. Yeah, I can.
Yeah. You think Bournemouth could get out of it?
The Messiah is going to get him out.
This guy, fucking hell.
He's been listening
with his magic.
Defense, you see.
I'm going to hit that block button on all of you, motherfuckers.
Super Eddie's Black and Shelly's Army.
Block and reports.
He heard still talking to Beck and thought, man, I really do have magic. And, he's gone back to the board. Thank you, Still.
Fuck this, man. Honestly,
no, but if that's a that's a massive game now on Friday. If they don't get anything from there, they're not getting anything from City. And Arsenal, last game of the season, that's a difficult one.
Yeah, I think West, and I fancy West Ham to beat Watford personally. I think they've got more about them. And Antonio scoring 4 goals away, that's going to give him confidence. Yarmolenko can do his bits and bobs as well. I fancy West Ham. And then I can see Watford, 0 points from the next 3 games.
You never know.
So then if they don't get anything, City obviously beat Bournemouth, then Bournemouth beat Southampton, then Bournemouth will beat Everton last game to stay up.
So tell me something, what do you lot think these results have done to each team's confidence? Because as I said, like, Bournemouth were effectively the last team that were playing, and they saw everyone else get wins. And they're probably thinking, fuck, they've gone a goal down. They're probably thinking, shit, we're right down the creek here with no paddle. And they get this fortuitous goal from Solanke. I don't want to slate the guy because he's young. It's not fair to rip into him. But they've got this goal, and then all of a sudden, they end up getting a couple more. They win the game 4-1. So who do you think has got the momentum now going into these final games?
Oh, that's a difficult one, that. But you obviously, you're Bournemouth. You as players, you think maybe it's, you know, you look at the fixtures and maybe, you know, if we get something off City, which is very unlikely, but if they do, but probably not. But then Bournemouth against Southampton's a massive game. If they don't get anything from there, then they've got no chance, have they? But yeah, it's a difficult one. But West Ham, I think West Ham, probably out of them all, have got the most wins in the sales because of who they beat and how good the result was.
Yeah, true. Very true. Well, let's see how...
I know Bournemouth was 4-1 as well, but, you know, they had a man sent off and it went a bit of a calamity at the end, wasn't it? With Schmeichel kicking it against his own player and then him kicking him in the net. It was just a shambles.
Semps, did you watch the Villa game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's their first league win since the 21st of January. I mean, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's without Grealish, they're a poor side. They are.
a poor side. And yeah, they're not even fun to watch, to be honest. And they've not got goals. I've always said as well that when if a team is to stay up, then you need somebody that's going to score goals. And that's what you don't have in your Bournemouths. You haven't really got anyone that's going to score goals. You don't have that in Aston Villa. You don't have that in any of them. So that's why they're all pretty shocking. And it just depends on who's going to be able to pull their finger out just when it matters. But yeah, Villa got they got lucky in that game, because that Sakho goal should have been given. And then it's a totally different game if that's given. So
they've got three winnable games, and Everton have been toilet since the comeback. Villa at Arsenal second game is, and if West Ham are already safe and Villa need to win that last game, you can see them coming out as well.
I don't see Villa beating Everton, you know, Rod. I just watch Villa, and again, I'm surprised they beat Crystal Palace, but you just watch Villa, and if Grealish doesn't do anything, then you just... And he's been off since we've all come back.
What it is people just double him up or triple him up, because that's the danger. That's all they're worried about. So they kind of double him up and give him a few kicks, and by the end of the game, he just looks knackered and done
in. You know that thing that they keep saying about Grealish holding on to the ball too long, but look who he's trying to pass the ball to. You know what I mean? It's not like he's got real snipers up front. He's working with some of the worst forwards in the league. So what else is he supposed to do?
That's his kind of game. He sucks him in, and that's his kind of game. But yeah, with better players, he'd be a much better player. But what he's got to work with is he's struggling. Yeah.
I mean, even last year in the Championship, it's a different league, obviously, but he had Tammy Abraham up front, so he knew he knew what time it was. He knew he could get the ball off, and Tammy Abraham could finish. He can't do that with these players.
This is why it's important for Leeds to get like a good striker, or whoever they come up need to get a striker that's going to get you 15 goals or 10-50 goals just to get you out of that. Because if you haven't got that, you know, Bournemouth, they've got Wilson and King, but they've not done anything really. Aston Villa have got no one. Norwich, Pukki started off well, but he drifted off. You need someone who's going to hold it up, or a vocal point up there that's going to relieve the pressure, and Villa don't seem to have that.
Yeah, but do you know what? You say that, and I'm going to throw in another one here, because you lot are probably going to say to me, you're chatting shit, but Brighton lost 5-0 to City the other day. Yeah, they need 5 points to be mathematically safe. They've got Southampton away, then Newcastle at home, and then Burnley away. Maybe they might get sucked in.
No, because Bournemouth then need to get, was it 5-6 points? I don't think they can get sucked in. Brighton can't get sucked in.
Well, I don't know, but Eddie Howe might work his magic.
Well, City, yeah, well, it's the Southampton game is a big game, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you don't win that, then
loads of seagulls and fish and chips.
They're not going to win. They're not going to get anything against City. There's no chance. So Bournemouth against Southampton, the way Southampton are playing, that's a very difficult game as well. So they're up against it, and especially with the 4-1 result, they want to keep that momentum going, and then they've got City, so it's a bit of a downer.
Okay. Okay, well, I still think there's a chance Brighton might get sucked into it. I still think there's a chance, but...
Yeah, but that would mean Bournemouth and Villa win two games out of the last three.
Yeah, are you saying that just to be different?
You're just trying to be a contrarian.
No. I'm just saying that, listen, they need 5 points to be mathematically safe. They need 5 points to be mathematically safe.
So what was the chances of Watford and Brighton going down then?
I don't have the odds in front of me. I don't know.
Brighton got Newcastle. Brighton only need. Three
yeah,
points.
I think Brighton only need. Brighton only need a point.
A point. Yeah. I agree.
Because they've got a good goal difference.
Yeah, well, still, you're banking on two teams that were stuck on 27 points for about 3 weeks up until yesterday, to then win two more games.
Listen, stranger things have happened.
Listen, Cagey, one of them will do it. I reckon one of them will.
Well, Watford
slide in.
Watford actually.
Out of Villa and Bournemouth, I think one of them teams will not go down. I don't know which one, but I think one of them teams will stay up.
And I think Bournemouth got more chance of scoring goals than Villa, so I'm going Bournemouth. That's what I'm doing.
I'd take money on that one as well.
Well, look, okay, let's be real here, yeah? Bournemouth are playing City on Wednesday. Villa are playing Everton on Thursday. So, one way or the other, Villa will know what they have to do at Everton, right? They obviously have to win, but if Bournemouth lose, which they probably will, then Villa have got the on the ascendancy, so to speak. Bournemouth face Southampton on Sunday, okay? Villa don't play till Tuesday.
That doesn't always benefit you. Look, we played today after everybody and we dropped points.
No, but I mean, in the grand scheme,
if you're in any of them teams and you're thinking about other teams' results, then you're finished. All you've got to do is tuned in and think about what you've got to do. Don't think about other people, because if you don't do your job, then that doesn't give a fucking, it doesn't matter, does it? So just concentrate on what the job in hand is, and one game at a time, the old cliches. But it's true, you've just got to concentrate and take it one game at a time. Yes, if City get beat, then that it'll be a little bit of advantage for Aston Villa, because they say, right, we've got a free hit here. Come on, let's take advantage of it. Mm. And let's see if we do it.
So basically, Southampton and Everton have got pretty much a big say in what happens in the relegation battle.
Yeah, and Everton haven't been really playing. Every time I've watched Everton, I've turned it off, it's been that bad. But Southampton, I watch Southampton, they're very enjoyable and they are hard working. They've got some good players.
Okay.
You've got your favourite, Shane Long, up front.
Shane Long, come on! Come on!
He's always a threat.
To what?
So he's always a threat for the centre half to sleep at night, because he gives him a good run.
There you go. See, that's a bit of a physical presence, pace and power. Shane Long. All right, we've done the relegation round. That fuck that. Let's talk about the North London derby. Wow, okay. So, Jose Mourinho doesn't lose North London derbies at home. I should say he doesn't lose derbies at home, does he? Okay, apart from when Chelsea beat Spurs. But you know what I'm talking about. He never loses to Arsenal at home. That's what I meant to say. There you go. Never does. And that continued. Lacazette scored a bloody fantastic goal. Song Heung-min equalised. People were blaming David Luiz. I blame Kolasinac. And then Alderweireld scored a fantastic goal, even though Tierney was marking him. Semps, what the fuck's going on there, man?
Defensively, Arsenal all over the place, and they just gifted Spurs that game, because after Lacazette scores, they're meant to just go and control that, because they were the better team in that game for me. And Spurs were doing their usual, or I say Jose was doing his usual, sit back, two banks of four, or four and five, and these counter-attack stuff. But they weren't really penetrating. But it was just Arsenal, just lapse of concentration. That was definitely Kolasinac's fault. Anybody watching that, you can't blame David Luiz for that. And I think you can see what Arteta's trying to work with, what he's trying to do. But they need to definitely get some defenders in the off-season and try and improve that side, because they're not going to be able to improve with defenders that they've got.
Okay, fair enough. And KG, what now for Jose Mourinho? Because we've been digging the knife in for the past couple of weeks, and he was a bit of a happier Jose Mourinho, but yeah, he reckons they're still in with a fight for Europa League. Do Tottenham really need to be worrying about getting a European spot at the moment? Surely they should be focused on other stuff.
No, they need the European spot for the extra income.
For the money!
Yeah, I'd say it always comes down to the money, man. And yeah, I think they're all right for a Europa League spot. I think they'll do it. I know you guys have been killing Jose, man, but I still believe in him, man. I still have a bit of faith in Jose Mourinho.
Jose.
I know he's a checkbook manager and everything else like that, but he's a winner, man. It's ingrained in him, and I think that he'll... Give him the summer. See if he can get in some plays that he actually wants. because he's playing players that he has no, he doesn't care about some of these players, and it's quite clear as well. Like if he could get rid of Harry Winks, he'd get rid of Harry Winks tomorrow.
Like, I think he's not a Jose type of player, personally.
Nah. No way. He loves his bigger.
Sissoko's more of a Mourinho midfielder.
Yeah, but Harry Winks is safe. Follow orders. Don't do anything extraordinary. That's Jose, man. Basic.
Nah, so Ander Herrera,
terrible man.
Ander Herrera. Harry Winks is the English Ander Herrera.
Minus the terrible tackling.
Harry Winks is Schneider.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But Schneider didn't even play under Jose.
He played into Milan, didn't he?
Oh, Schneider, sorry. Sorry. For some reason, I thought you meant Schweinsteig. What the fuck? Completely different nationalities.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about
Schneiderlin.
No,
yeah.
Schneider, the little Dutch kid.
Wesley Schneider.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, he's a Harry Winks mold player. He loved him.
That's what I'm saying. He loves the Harry Winks, man. He does.
No, he wouldn't play. Harry Winks doesn't do, and I swear to God, and you ask Tottenham fans and they can't answer the question, what does Harry Winks do except for pass the ball 5 yards to the side of him? He doesn't do anything. He's one of the most basic midfielders in the league.
I agree with you. That's what I said. Jose likes basic, though. He does. He likes basic, straightforward, don't do anything extraordinary, don't take risks. Just follow orders, and he will do what Jose needs him to do in there. Him and Sissoko, perfect for Jose. Now, I'm not saying if Jose had the checkbook that he wouldn't try to upgrade them, but I think for what he's working with, they're doing what Jose wants them to do. Them two players there, I don't think they're the problem for Jose.
Yeah, but he played like that under Pochettino too. He was the same player.
Yeah.
But still, how would you feel being an Arsenal fan, right? And knowing that any time you take the lead, it's never secure.
Well, it's normal for Arsenal, isn't it? At the moment, they can't defend, and I think to be honest, a lot of the Premier League teams can't defend. There's only a handful of teams that actually know how to defend. Think about it. I mean, the quality of defending is shit in the Premier League. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But Arsenal have got like. Their defenders just do individual errors on a regular basis.
Yeah, but let's be honest,
if it's
man.
Not David Luiz, then Kolasinac.
Yeah,
do
but
it.
In all fairness, Kolasinac isn't a central defender, man. He isn't a central defender, and I get why Arteta plays him in that left-sided role because he's a left-footed player. And they've been unlucky with Marie getting injured. You know, Mustafi, he ain't fucking great, is he? Socrates, I don't know what's going on with him. Fuck knows, he's too busy calling people Malaga on Instagram. So I don't know what's going on at the moment with these. But listen, we've been talking about Arsenal for a long time, and you know, when it comes to their rebuild, it's a very similar situation to Spurs. But I don't know which team is okay. I think Arsenal are better positioned from a financial perspective going forward. Because Spurs have obviously been hampered with this stadium. And other people are going to say to me, oh, well, they're going to pay it off very soon. That's not how it works. Okay, it's a big debt. Right, it's a big debt. And it's gonna disable them a little bit. But I still think both teams are very similar in terms of they've got a lot of players that shouldn't be. They've got a lot of deadwood. And a lot of recruiting, the right recruiting needs to happen. So I think, you know, this summer is a big summer for both clubs. I don't know.
But what he's got to do there at Tottenham, he'll probably be given a choice. If you can spend, but you've got to get rid of one of your big assets. So it'd be either Ali or Kane that goes.
Well, how much do you think they'll get for Harry Kane at the moment?
Well, they were saying that 200-150 million a year ago. And now, exactly. So they're not going to get nowhere near that. So. Don't know.
It's hard with Harry Kane, man, because you know he's a good finisher, right? But he keeps getting injured, and when he comes back, he just seems to look slower every single time.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like he loses a yard of pace, and whether that's in his head because of the injuries that he's got or not, he does look like a slow, plodding player now.
Mm. But where starts... you keep... Sorry, go on. No, go on.
I still rate him as a striker. I still think he's a one hell of a finisher, but... He does look like injuries are hampering his either his mental or physical state.
And where there's a cheaper option at Wolves where you could probably get for like 30, 40 million. The centre forward there.
I don't know. I mean, I look at that Spurs lineup from the other day. I don't think Lloris should be there. I think Aurier's shit. Davinson Sanchez hasn't improved. Adeviro, we don't know what's going to happen with him. Ben Davis is okay, but you know he's the best out of a bad bunch, to be fair. Sissoko, well, we know what we're going to get from him. Lo Celso, I don't know what his long-term future is at the club. Winks, as you guys said, he's a Mourinho kind of player. And then you've got Moura, Son, Kane, and Bergwijn. He's spot for choice in that attacking role. But has Moura kicked on? We saw how well he did last season, but is he just like an impact squad player? I don't know. So, as I said, you look at that team from 1 to 11 at the weekend. How many of those would you take at your club? Really?
So you have to take into consideration attacking players under Jose. Because since we've come back from... Well, even before, but they've not looked fluid the when they attack. None of them.
They didn't have a shot on goal against Bournemouth.
Two games in a row, they had zero shots on target. And as you said, no shots on target against Bournemouth. That's not players. So I know, you know, Harry Kane could look sluggish at the moment and a lot of people get on his back. But I feel sorry for those players playing in this system under Jose Mourinho. I really do. Because he does not give fluidity to attacking play. You know the way he wants to play. And that's not poor attacking players. I don't know about you guys, but I look at Son now, and you know he doesn't seem like he's enjoying his football anymore. He really doesn't. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what does happen going forward. Obviously, if he can bring them success, they'll be happy. But that type of football, you have to be winning things, otherwise people won't be happy.
Sam, so you know, Jose, if he hears this, he's going to bring the stats out for you. You did it for Paul Merson.
Respect.
Respect, man. Drogba, 60 goals. Ibrahimovic. Yeah, he's looking for you now.
KG, this is what I mean. Jose nowadays is always talking about what I've done in the past, And if you look at it now, he's going downhill. Yeah, he won some trophies at Man United, but he didn't win the league. Wherever he went before, he would win the league, do this in the Champions League. It's now just going down and down. And if you look at him in that last 18 months at United, he's lost of ideas now at this level. I really believe that. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, he's never going to win the league at Tottenham. No way. No, not with Chelsea, United, Liverpool and City. No way. The only best chance he's got of winning something is a cup or a Champions League or Europa Cup, because that's all that he's going to have to work with. Listen, what kind of quality he's going to bring in.
I know Tobes is going to get at me for saying this, yeah, but Jose Mourinho has won trophies everywhere he's been, and he's gone to Spurs, and it don't look like that's ever going to happen, does it? So what does it say about Spurs? Poison
no,
chalice,
but
man.
He will win trophies there.
No, he won't.
He will not win the league.
He won't be there long enough to win trophies.
I agree.
I think that Daniel Levy's brought him in for that reason. You need to win trophies. We'll support you and do it. And we don't care how it looks like. Win trophies. Bring us trophies.
But Rod, do you think then that COVID has maybe changed that approach a little bit, because maybe they don't have the money that they were planning to spend before? You think that's a possibility?
I still think that they'll have money to spend, but just not money that, you know, that he's been used to. And like I say,
no
before,
A-Rab money.
If he really wants to strengthen, he's going to have to get rid of one of his prize assets. Who that is, I don't know, but one of them will go.
You know, in terms of the money as well, people keep talking about the loan that they've got. But these big businesses will get a loan for something, but then have reserves of cash for something else. So it won't touch their transfer budget.
It's the same as the Arsenal owners. The Arsenal, these owners are billionaires. Mm. They're not millionaires, they're billionaires. And you try to say to me that they can't afford to fork out players. They can, they just don't. They take money from the club. They're businessmen. So... But yeah, it's not going to get the money he's used to. But
Yeah, he's going to get something.
Well, they took
out. He has to.
They took out £175 million loan to finance the club during COVID.
No, that was for the stadium, though.
Was it?
Yeah, sure? It was for the stadium. It was stadium cost and all that stuff. I don't think it was anything to do with transfers. Well, anything to do with that. That kind of money.
Yeah. So he took out the loan during the pandemic. So, yeah, you're probably right. It's for the. Yeah.
It will be for something separate.
Probably for the repayments on the debt for the stadium. Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
no. But they'll make that up soon because they'll have more and more NFL games there now. Because you've seen the size of the changing rooms, so they earn money from that. They'll earn it a bit quicker from other clubs have done because they can have other events there. They've set the ground out so it can be a multi concert venue. It can be for NFL, it can be for football, it can be for various things. So they're going to earn money from other avenues, but I still think that they'll have money to spend, but just not the money he's been accustomed to.
Well, the thing is, if you look at the way that FFP works and like the player amortization structure, at the end of the day, clubs can just make profits or even break even based on that. Have you seen what's happened with Barcelona and Juventus? With Artur and Pjanic, have you seen that deal?
No.
So basically,
you mean the deal that's offset the money, offset the transfer fees and everything else like that?
Yep. So basically, this transfer has occurred, and this Artur has joined Juventus for €72 million, and Pjanic has gone the other way. But the way that they've structured it from a financial aspect, both clubs make a profit. it's mad because you got a £70 million player, right? And it's a 5-year contract, and they basically say that each year is how much it eats into the £70 million. So let's say, for example, it's a £50 million transfer spread over 5 years. So they basically say £10 million for 1 year, £10 million, £10 million, £10 million. But then if he signs a contract extension by another 3 years, the money is divided even further. So if they sell him 2 or 3 years into that, it eats into it's fucked up how it works, but it's genius. It's absolutely genius. That's probably how City got around it. But anyway, whatever.
But still, the last thing with Tottenham is, I think I said again on the first episode, is that they've needed to replenish that squad for a couple of years because not all of those players are bad. They've just been there for a long time without winning anything. There's some of them that just need a new change of scenery.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, still, didn't we? But they had the chance to strengthen and freshen things up, and it makes everyone around them better. And it just didn't, and it's just made them stale.
Yeah. Oh well. I think this is the second or third show in a row we've actually spoken about Tottenham's plight, like as if they. Yeah, I can't say what I was about to say actually because I rattle a lot of Spurs fans. I don't want to do that. But anyway, fuck it.
No, but we'll go back to what we said, what I asked you a couple of days ago. What position would you rather be in, an Arsenal fan or a Tottenham fan?
Well, I'd rather be Arsenal at the moment, given the way things are working out. But, you know, obviously Spurs are ahead of Arsenal at the moment. They're 52 points, Arsenal on 50. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think both teams are financially fucked, to be fair. I mean, if you know that Aubameyang got a £2 million Champions League bonus, even though they didn't even qualify for it, what does that tell you?
Yeah, well, the prices that people have got to pay to watch them clubs, because they can see the attendance dwindling if they're not in the top four, not competing.
Yeah, okay. Have I missed out on any games? Are there any more that we need to talk about? Any more that matter, should I say?
Eddie out, Bournemouth.
Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. Can we pick up Mikel Antonio for scoring 4 goals?
Yeah, he needs to get some kudos for that, definitely.
Come on, you tell us then. Come on, you tell us.
Well, I've got nothing else to say than that.
Is that it? Oh, come on. I was expecting more from you.
Can you name the other Premier League players that have scored 4 goals away from home?
I would say Sergio Aguero. Yeah, no?
I don't think so. No?
Shearer wasn't.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer
at Norwich Forest. That's like Nottingham Forest, wasn't it?
And there was Arshavin. There was Arshavin at Liverpool. That was, I think that was a cup game though.
No, that was a league game. It was a 4-4.
Was that a league game? Was it a league game? Right, okay. I don't know.
What feeling it may have. It might have been
Aguero, you know, a couple of years ago. I'm not sure. There was one that did it a couple of years ago. Can't remember who it was.
Has Henri done it?
Who?
Henri?
No. I have to look that one up. I'm sure there's four or five people.
I'm sure there is one like in the early years of the Premier League.
Yeah, was it Andy Cole? No, Andy Cole scored.
Like Mark Robbins or something
like that.
It
was at home, wasn't it? Andy Cole.
Hang about. Give me sport. 27 Premier League players have scored 4 goals in a game. All right, okay.
Let's see how many 27?
Yeah.
Mikel Antonio, Alan Shearer, but these are all at home, isn't it? Aguero.
That's the same whether that was at home or not.
Efe Nkoku scored 4 for Norwich away at Everton in September 93. Here you go.
Yeah, there you go. Efe Nkoku.
Chelsea 6. Ah, Viali scored 4 at Barnsley when Chelsea beat them 6-0. Klinsmann scored 4 for Spurs at Wimbledon 6-2. Michael Owen scored 4 at St James's Park when Liverpool beat. Scored 4.
4 goals 3 times, they're saying here. Yeah.
4 goals. 6-0 against West Brom. Was that at Anfield or was that away?
No, it must have been away from home.
Pass. Fuck knows. Viduka scored 4. There you go, but that was at home.
Who?
Viduka scored 4, but that was at home.
Yeah,
Arshavin, there you go. So yeah, interesting. Interesting. But it doesn't say whether they're home or away, but I remember some of these games. Harry Kane scored 4 at Leicester when Spurs beat them 6-1.
That was the one. Yeah, that was the one recently.
There you go. Excellent. There's some shit trivia for us, even though we had the answers in front of us and we still couldn't get right. But it's this. What else shall we talk about before we wrap it up? Shall we talk about Leeds? I know we've already done Leeds already, but they got a good win at the weekend. What's going on up there, down at the Championship, mate? Because I think Brentford have won their last 7 or something like that. Aren't they on West Brom's coattails at the moment?
It's so close. I mean, this is why I'm glad we are where we are, man, because Brentford have turned the heat up on West Brom. And in the last game, West Brom drew at Blackburn. Near the end, Bilic was trying to wrestle the ball off a Blackburn player to throw it back in. So that's when you know that the heat is on. But they've got a big game tomorrow against Fulham, who are in 4th place. And Fulham, even though they got a worse goal difference, they will still feel like they've got an outside chance to get in that second spot. So that will be a really good one to watch if you need some football to watch tomorrow.
Yeah. Wigan versus Hull is another one.
No, you don't want to watch that, man.
Yeah,
leave the horn alone. but no, man, it's a really good race, and I'm just glad that we learnt our lessons from last year, which I knew we would, and we're coming through. We've got Barnsley on Thursday. That'll be a home win. I'm not even sweating it.
Barnsley. KG, how many more games do you have left?
Three. So we only need 4 points out of 3. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, you're nice.
Yeah, man, we're good, man. So, but the teams below, it's a good race, even at the bottom, because I thought Hull City were gone. I don't know if you guys know about Hull, but they sold Jared Bowen, they sold Grzycki, and basically thought they'd be all right for the rest of the season. They're currently 3rd from bottom.
Yeah.
But they've won a couple of games, man. And then you got Charlton just above them, who lost Lyle Taylor.
Fulham could come bring themselves right into it if they beat West Brom, really, can't they?
If they beat West Brom and somehow Brentford don't win Wednesday, which I can't see happening. They've just been
Preston,
on a tear.
They've got Preston.
I believe so, yeah. But you see in talking about quality of the Championship where some players could step up, Brentford have got a few players that Premier League teams would absolutely pick off if Brentford don't get promoted, so they need to come up. Because Benrahma can't stay in the Championship another year.
Nice. Well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? If Brentford and Bournemouth are in the Premier League next year.
The thing is, Brentford are very good with the statistical analysis of footballers, and that's how they effectively have been recruiting. They've got very, very good player development team, player scouting. So, yeah, even if they do lose players, I'm pretty sure that they'll bring through. I mean, I've heard they've got some really good young talent coming through as well. So.
Brentford's model reminds me like of Wolves. I don't know why. It just reminds me a bit kind of like the Wolves, the way they play, they're easy on the eye. They just play some good football, Brentford. Watching a couple of times this year.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. In terms of if there's somebody out in that Wolves team, somebody else comes in, and it's like, who's missing? It's the same for Brentford.
They just slot in. They're very well coached. Everyone knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, you know the Brentford owner also owns Michelin in Denmark.
Matthew Benjamin. No, that doesn't surprise me. No, I didn't know that, but that doesn't surprise me because they've had a few players from there actually. From Danish football, and they've been pretty cheap. But yeah, their scouting system is you can't deny it. It's unmatched in the Championship for what the players they keep selling. I mean, they've sold to the Premier League alone Mope. Even before that, it was Egan and O'Connell. They both came from Brentford as well.
Yeah,
and they're top centre backs now in the Premier League. They lose talent over and over again, but just replace it.
And they got a certain Swedish defender of you as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Pontus Jansson. Yeah, no, he had to go, man. He had to go.
What, just because of what happened against Villa?
it's that. But then Bielsa doesn't suffer fools, man. He doesn't like it. But even Pontus has come out in the lockdown and said, it's all about Brentford now. Before it was, I do think it was a bit about me. So we can't have that at the club. Bielsa won't have that. But unfortunately, we've got Ben White on loan from Brighton. You guys might have heard of him. I think you guys, Liverpool and a couple other teams are looking at him also because he's been doing so well at Leeds.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a Rolls Royce of a centre back, man.
Is he left-footed?
Really good. No. So Ali won't be putting his arm around him anytime soon.
Oh well. Well, look, next time we have you on, hopefully you'll be celebrating. In fact, you probably will be celebrating a Leeds United promotion. Yeah. So.
Just before we finish, I feel like AFTV tie here, but I just want to say congratulations to Wickham and Gareth Ainsworth for their promotion to the Championship.
Yeah, have you seen that? You seen Akin Fenwa's interview at full time?
Yeah.
Blimey. Well, that'll be an interesting one. But do you think he's going to be there next season?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I know we won't be, so I don't know.
Listen to this guy. Fucking hell. Brilliant. All right, let's wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen.
Just quickly. Yes. Sorry.
Go on.
When do you guys think that fans are going to be allowed back in the stadium?
Well, they're going back in France now. They had a friendly between Paris Saint-Germain and some other team, Le Havre, I think it was, and they had fans in the stadium. So
yeah, I've been watching rugby for the last 10 days, and in New Zealand, Australia, there's fans in there.
Although the thing is, Rod, I know the Champions League qualifiers, they're not going to have fans in Champions League qualifiers.
I think it won't be till late August, late September, if any. I'm not too sure, but if it's social distance, I don't know how they'll figure it out. Like they do, like, it's very difficult to police in it. But yeah, I think September, because it starts getting into the winter months, and that's where it starts getting worse.
Do you know what I think they'll do? I think every club will start giving masks to fans when they go in the ground, and they say you have to wear it.
Mandatory, yeah.
But can you imagine football songs like this? Can you sing a song like this?
You go to football and tell like 70,000, well, say like 10,000, 70,000, are pissed up. You can't sing. They'll be like, fuck off. Some steward on fucking £6 an hour. Yeah, mate, keep it down. Fuck off, you knob. Yeah, that's it. They get no chance. No chance of police. Yeah, but
the good thing about...
You have to have masks.
Yeah, but the good thing about people wearing masks is that you're not going to have someone spitting on the back of your head when they're singing.
I know what you're saying, but these masks are still not protected. If you're shouting, there's still shit coming out of your mouth. especially when you have 10 pints.
Oh, mate.
Jeez. And you know what it's going to be like? Someone's going to rip it off foot and it's going to do me head in. You know what I mean? You're not going to be able to police it. It's going to be difficult. So I still think they'll try and police it. If they see anyone with masks off, you're going to be out. So it's going to be difficult. But, yeah, I hope they can bring it back soon because it's not the same, is it?
No, absolutely not. Well, listen, Bin Laden got in the Leeds ground, didn't he? So...
Yeah. And Jimmy Savile. Jimmy Savile, he's getting everywhere. Who puts these pictures up? Who thinks of putting a nonce in it on a picture?
I think we were infiltrated, but I think somewhere yeah. from a rival club just set us up now.
There's been some funny ones on, but Bin Laden and Jimmy Savile, no.
Not, no way, not no how.
What's the funny thing is, it's probably some kid who's put it out. Oh, look at that old guy there.
Yeah.
Not knowing this guy was a predator. And this guy just killed a fucking thousands of people. And they think they just think it's some guy from, I don't know.
No, I don't know. Maybe it was Philip Schofield sitting behind the screen saying, oh, I miss my mate. I want to see him on telly again.
It's funny.
KG is shaking his head. I can sense it.
Sorry, you broke up. I didn't hear any of that. So, you don't need to repeat it either. It's all
right. Mr. Sit on the Fence right here. Fuck it up. Splinters on his ass. Jesus Christ. Fuck it. Right, let's wrap it up, ladies and gents. This has been a very, very fun show. Semps is thinking, great, this is the third show I've been on and not once have they been serious, for fuck's sake.
It's all right, man. I'm going to go in the bath next time.
Or Tesco Express or anywhere else. I was actually listening to a show from last season. No, it was this season actually, when North London Derby, when we had Louis and Chig on, and Rod was actually sitting on the toilet at one point. Oh. The toilet flush. I was like, who's sitting on the shit? He's like, it's me.
Listen, you gotta go. This is the pleasures of doing it at home.
Literal toilet humour. That's what it is.
Yeah.
This show is so stupid.
it would have been some real podcast if it was a video. It'd be great. Right?
Oh.
We have the Brazzers logo on the top right hand corner, right?
I've done it from loads of places. I've drove home from Cardiff, did it in my car. I've done it from loads of places, different weird places.
It's like, where's Rod?
Over the years.
So where's Rod?
Yeah, exactly. Not,
where's Roddy? Where's Rod?
First show, remember it was the pies. They used to love the pies. Plug in Holland pies.
Where are you, Rod? I'm at the fish and chip shop queuing up.
Yeah. Steak and kidney pie.
Oh, yeah, I've fucking got tears now. Fucking hell. Right. Right, let's wrap it up. KG, Twitter, all that good stuff. Come on.
Yep, KAGEY_ and Mick Pope is England's number one. Thank you.
Splendid. Semps.
Yeah, at L Semps, or you can catch me at Views TV Official.
And when is the next pod coming out, young man?
Tomorrow morning.
Excellent. Who's it with?
An Arsenal fan, Spurs fan, and Chelsea fan.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a joke.
I was going to say it sounds like a joke,
man. No, it's funny. It gets a little bit heated as well, so... Yeah, it's quite enjoyable.
Lovely. Okay, well, I'll be tuned in for that one. Wonderful. And Rodri.
At Rod James Giggs. And if anyone does agree with me, comment on the Eddie Howe will make it, and he is a messiah. Yeah. Still doesn't know what he's fucking talking about. Comment and say, agree.
Can you imagine you walking into Rod's room and he's got all these Eddie Howe posters in there? The shrine. Loads of cherries hanging down and all that. Oh, fucking hell. Right, we're on to actually the defence. We have an Instagram page. We've got a few more interviews coming out. We've got a whole heap of stuff planned in the future. I can't say what just yet, because I haven't decided what and when. So until next time, be safe, wear a mask, and hope Bournemouth go down. Bye.